Connect with others in the Awaken Therapist community and join us over on Patreon. When you become a member of the Awaken Therapist community, you'll gain access to the exclusive consultation portion of this episode. Find out more at thespirituallyaligned.com. I'm Harmony Quiker, licensed counselor, author, and visiting instructor at Naropa University, where I teach Gestalt therapy. I created this podcast to support therapists in exploring deeper dimensions in their work with clients. You'll notice that in each episode, my guest therapist stays anonymous. This is to preserve the anonymity of the client they present in our case consultation available on Patreon. In this episode of the Awaken Therapist podcast, I talk with a therapist who's passionate about supporting clients to be their own agents of change. We consult about a case where the client has limited access to their emotions, and we explore how to approach this work from a somatic-based transpersonal lens. I hope you enjoy this episode. As I was getting ready to come and meet you today, I was thinking about how a lot of therapists who are attracted to transpersonal counseling are highly sensitive beings with a high access to intuition. And it sounds like you've increased access to your own sensitivities just through the practice of being a therapist.
Absolutely. In some ways, it reminds me of the different ways you can look at a human body. So if you like look at a human body from the outside, you see one facet or dimension of it. If you look at the human body through, you know, an X-ray, you're seeing a different dimension. If you're looking at it through a CAT scan, you're seeing it a different dimension. And I feel like becoming a practicing therapist and through the years of practicing therapy, I'm now kind of seeing my own, I don't want to say powers, but just the way I be and am and experience the world more clearly and in a way I hadn't before, as if I'm kind of like seeing it from the inside out and not the outside in.
Yeah, it sounds to me like you're talking about increasing your interoceptive senses of yourself, like understanding your inner landscape and really the gift of that inner landscape. And, you know, for me as a new clinician, I knew that I was sensitive in so many ways, but I didn't know that those sensitivities were going to ultimately be my superpower. And so to have a place where these sensitivities are meaningful and impactful for the world and important in creating contact and openings to contact has just been revolutionary over time and time and time. And especially as I see my students increase that capacity over time too, the unfolding to me is so magnificent.
It is. It's a beautiful, rich, surprising discovery. I think you put it so, so well. That inner landscape, like continuing to get to know certain facets, my energetic landscape, which isn't just inner, it's inner and external. I think that's been a really huge discovery for me, which of course, my training in Gestalt, you know, studying with you and kind of the other work that we did in school. I mean, I am still learning from and about my own energy and my own capabilities and sensitivities now in a way that just can't happen. Like, it's not like, oh, you have this, you know, one class or one semester or 6 months. It's really something that you grow to learn and understand over time. And I'm still working with it because A, I'm complex, just like other human beings are complex. But B, it gets really complex when you're in a therapeutic dynamic or relationship with a client. And in some ways, that complexity helps mirror your own capacities. And so it's an even like clearer mirror, like, oh, now, I get this is how I've been holding my energy, or this is, I get what I see, and this is mine, and this is it. And somehow it's hard to do that in yourself without somebody else mirroring it back for you.
Yeah, it's definitely easier to see those energetic blocks and energetic movements when we have that clear mirror of reflection. I agree. I love that you brought in the energetic piece because I really think it's unfortunate that subtle energy and the energy body isn't talked about frequently in the field of counseling. And as you know, it's something that I'm very passionate about honoring and listening to. And, you know, a revelation that I've had over time in my work is that even something that seems like an energetic block holds a spiritual intelligence, a consciousness that actually is the portal to our clients' healings. I just got the chills when I said it. It's my favorite part of this work, of being that attuned and that welcoming and that nonviolent and non-judgmental, where every single aspect of a client is honored as innately important to who they are as a human being.
I 100% agree. One thing that has really been helpful for me in settling into my work is putting some of the pieces of my own spiritual and meditation practice and knowledge and learning over the many decades together, right, with my therapeutic education experience in the counseling room. And I talk to clients about, you know, we have these different bodies, right? We have a physical body, we have an emotional body, we have a mental body, and we have a spiritual body, and we have an energetic body. I don't introduce all clients to it, but a lot of them are very, oh, you know, and it helps to paint a landscape for them to be able to approach understanding what's happening for them differently. And particularly lately, I've been really noticing and recognizing my own kind of like way I understand and approach therapy and working with clients is I see a lot of difficulty around the emotional body, clients being able to be in and with their emotional body, which and the emotional body is tied intimately with the energetic body. They're not the same, but they're so intimately tied. And so I've been contemplating and thinking a lot about that lately, both in myself as well as for my clients.
Yeah, to me, it sounds like you're talking about the difference between holding space from conceptual knowing versus awareness-based knowing, and teaching your clients, in effect, that when they're hyper-identified with their thought-based reality, the way that they relate to their emotional body is typically one of either clinging or resistance, which perpetuates that suffering. But when we're able to support our clients in shifting to their own awareness-based knowing, to their own awake awareness, they can begin to transmute that emotional holding pattern in a way that is beyond what their mind could conceive of. Like, the solution is typically not what the mind would come up with. It's always just magnificent to me to see that unfolding. And I really do think an important piece of this is, as I said, you know, differentiating from the mind, but the bridge to that is really through somatic sensations in the body, like you were talking about before with your interoceptive senses. And one of the most common questions that I get from students and supervisees and other people as well is, how do you work with a client who's disconnected from their body, who has been desensitized, or, you know, has a sense of numbness or just not knowing what they feel in their body? And I'm wondering how that's been for you.
Well, you know, what a beautiful leading into when we talk about my client that I'm going to bring, because that's this particular client that we'll talk about more later is an example of a client I actually really enjoy working with, right? I really do. However, there is this real disconnect from their emotional body, their energetic body, and their spiritual body, not their physical body, not their physical body. And so it is something that I've noticed there are different ways, like, not that it's an infinite number of ways, because I, you know, I haven't been practicing for 15 years, so I can't, you know, tally my 400 clients and kind of go, oh, there's these seven basic ways I kind of approach it. I think for many of my clients, particularly the clients that are not coming in with any kind of like spiritual or mindfulness practice or somatic practice prior to working with me, I just have to say it has generally been a very incremental, slow process. particularly, I do work with a lot of clients with complex trauma. And for many of them, being in the body, there's so much either fear, sadness, shame, just so many uncomfortable, painful emotions that are in their body. It is very difficult for them to be in the body. Now, they can be in maybe the body somatically, like, oh, even feeling like, oh, my leg hurts, or I can feel that I'm hungry, right? Many of them can do that, but they're in so much psychological and emotional pain. There's an anxiousness to fix their pain without, you know, kind of like, well, let's just keep deepening into the somatic experiences. And, you know, I even, you know, do polyvagal and introduce them to all the psychoeducation, but they're coming in because they're in pain and they want to get out of pain, and they don't necessarily immediately experience relief from pain, kind of slowly introducing the somatic. So I tend to do both a bottom up, top down simultaneously, as well as really training them into just general being aware of their body, aware of their experience, you know. And I do like to use parts work with a lot of clients because it is really helpful for them to not so much identify as whatever the negative cognition is that they have, like I'm a loser or I'm bad or I'm broken or whatever. When I start using the parts work, immediately they're able to say, oh, that's the part that's feeling this, right? And it provides a little bit of relief. So I think broadly speaking, I don't use all that with all my clients, but I'll use a blend of some of those things. But I do notice for many of them, it just takes time. To be honest, it can take a year, year and a half, 2 years before I'm really able to start sinking into some of that more somatically oriented, to more like gestalt, to more of them being able to tolerate really being in and with their emotional and energetic feeling body.
That's definitely something that I wish all students sort of understood, is that the only place to get is more in touch with what's right here. The concept of linear time in transpersonal counseling isn't relevant. You know, it might take a year, it might take 3 years, and all of that's beautiful and great. And it doesn't mean that a client can't do this work because they don't have access to their body. It just means that their level of awareness and level of contact is different from somebody else. And we continue to get in touch with what's right here and affirm their humanity and stay in contact with them and welcome them as they are and deepen into contact over time. And to me, that's part of the beauty and the grace of this work. It's so gentle. Another thing that you said that stands out to me is when clients are really sort of looping in their painful thoughts and self-loathing or judgment, resentment, that accessing the body can be a source of pain. You know, the body is where the trauma is living, and the mind is where they're making meaning out of that trauma. And I like to begin by accessing the mind, but more in like a subtle energy somatic way, because the mind is in the head, which is actually part of the body. I think there's this sort of bias towards going from neck down, but the head is part of the body, and seeing the way that the mind is holding this experience and beginning there is really a gentle way to start to open up into presence and for a client to become more congruent in how they are in this moment, which is, you know, part of the paradoxical theory of change, like really being who they are fully right now.
You put that so beautifully, and that's a lot of what I do with those clients who struggle, because pushing them is never helpful. Right. And that's not how I'm trained either. Like, I just don't orient that way. And it's something I've actually had to work on a little bit, is being a little bit more directive sometimes or confrontational, because I tend to be the opposite. You know, I tend to very much come from that, our training, my training, that gestalt, like letting the client lead, and just that such a gentle, gentle approach. But with some of my clients who I've been with for many years now, I can give that challenge. You know, I'm a big believer in the right amount of support and challenge what have been one of my growing edges is, you know, the challenge of the clients. But I totally agree with you. And I love, again, it's so beautiful the way you put it, that the mind and the brain, mind being in the brain, is being part of the body and thinking about it in that way, that that is often the safest, the place that the clients feel the safest to start. And as they start feeling more comfortable with that makeup of their mind, the thoughts, their stories, their narratives, often that's where I start. You know, I try to help the client develop awareness of, right, an IFS kind of awareness of their parts or awareness of the negative patterns or cognitions or emotions, right, and start to just try to get that slice between. I teach clients at the very beginning, one of the things they can say to themselves is not, I am a loser, for example. I'm having the thought that I'm a loser, right? Or I am angry. I'm having the feeling that I'm angry, right? So just even those baby steps of separating the identity of self, right? The self as whatever the thought or feeling is, because they are not their thoughts, they are not their feelings, right? But if we can start there in the mind, to start to help their system to be less defended or less blocking that access to, right, the somatic or the body or the energy. And we can start there with that piece. Slowly, they have more agency. That is what I do find. They actually have more agency working with their own mind than to be able to do some of that deeper work.
It reminds me of that beautiful Einstein quote. You can't solve a problem from the same level of thinking that you created it from. And so when a client comes in and they want the solution and they want to create the change, but they're still hyper-identified from their mind and they can't see that staying at that level of the mind isn't actually where they're going to find their solution. There's typically some frustration with themselves, because letting go of the mind is a really, I think, a courageous act. You know, where a person really finds that self-trust to be able to feel safe enough to come deeper into their body. Listening to real-life clinical examples is a wonderful way to increase awareness of how to approach your work from this powerful modality. To listen to the full episode where my guest and I consult about a challenging case, join us on Patreon. This is intended for educational purposes only, and the content here should not be taken as advice or clinical supervision. Find out more at thespirituallyaligned.com. If you want to learn more about the art of transpersonal counseling, check out the Awakened Therapist Signature Course at thespirituallyaligned.com. This is a go-at-your-own-pace course with non-contact recorded webinars, demos, practices, and PDF handouts where you can learn more about spirituality, consciousness, and subtle energy through the lens of Gestalt therapy. To learn more, check out our trainings at thespirituallyaligned.com and receive your course today sent directly to your inbox.